can go to class if you like. Psalm 133, 133. Love the Psalms. Psalm 133. And we'll read the whole psalm today. All the verses. It's only three verses. Psalm 133, let's begin in verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Boy, that's a great verse. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And we'll direct our attention to verse 1, and it talks about dwelling together in unity. There's a lot to that truth, and I want to look at the word unity today. Father, bless your word. Thank you for it. Thank you for how it draws us all to you, and it draws us to one another. Surely our fellowship is with Jesus Christ and with each other because of that. Bless your word today. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a great, great truth. And unity is oneness, concord. It's agreement. It's being together on something. If anywhere there ought to be unity, it's in the church. Amen. Certainly in our homes, but certainly in the church. In Ephesians 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Endeavoring. That's making a good effort. That's making an attempt to have that happen. In Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's what we ought to strive for. Amen? We ought to try and do that the best we can. The Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so the closer we get to each other, the closer we get to the Lord if we're following his principles. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably. In Ephesians 4:13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you have the unity of the Spirit, and you have the unity of the faith. Those two things are what draw Christians together. There's a verse in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You are not going to agree on everything. Amen? It's just hard to do. In a marriage, two shall be one. That's a good thing, but I don't know of a marriage anywhere where the husband and wife both agree on everything. You know, if the women would just listen, that we got it all together, you know. But anyway, there's always a division there. And it's the same thing with believers and Christians. We may see something a little bit different, but it's the unity of the Spirit, that's specific, the Spirit, and it's the unity of the faith. Those are the things that draw us together. You can't compromise on those two things. They're foundational. In Jude verse 3, listen to the language here. Beloved, when I gave all diligence, that's a good word, to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. That's a good word too. That you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And you take the meat of that verse, and it's pretty intense. This is the way it is. It's the common salvation. It's once delivered unto the saints. You have in Galatians, Paul is writing to the church there, and obviously he founded that church. And he says in other portions of Scripture there, am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? You were founded on the truth. Have you begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the works of the flesh? You would have given your eyes. You thought I was a great teacher and establishing this work. And where is the blessedness you spake of? But he goes to chapter 1 and he says this. He said, because they were going away from the true gospel. It says in verse 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. If anybody comes and preaches another gospel, he repeats the same thing in verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Because another gospel is not the true gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible tells us that, the first four verses. The gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He died for us, amen, and he rose again for our justification. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that's what gives us salvation. It's not our works. It's not our baptism. It's not our church membership. It's none of that. It's putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to look at a couple verses there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This truth is all through the Bible. In the New Testament, we see very strong statements here. And we'll just pick some verses out of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is writing to the church, and he says in verse 3, look at verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with them. Is that possible that you could receive a different Jesus, a different gospel? And he's teaching them. And towards the end of the chapter, the middle of the chapter, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. There's another picture of that where he's talking about there's another gospel. We know the gospel. We've read the gospel. We believe the gospel. We preach the gospel. Jesus died for our sins, and he's our Savior. Amen? We receive him, and our sins are washed away. That is a blessing, and to know that. And that's where our fellowship is. One more portion of scripture to go to. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And this is a wonderful fellowship. What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? What is there any fellowship between an unbeliever and a believer? Not about spiritual matters. Where our fellowship is in the gospel, in Jesus Christ, in the Word of God. That's where we fellowship. Amen? That draws us together, and it's a blessing. Look at verse 1 of Philippians chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. That's unity. And it goes on and explains what Christ did for us and how that draws us all together. I love the Lord. You love the Lord. We have a lot to talk about. Amen? We have a lot to rejoice in together, and our prayers show that. Colossians 1:5. The truth of the gospel, Galatians 1:13, the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, Galatians 2:14, the truth of the gospel again, Philippians 1:27, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It's what draws us together. And it's the work we have to do. It's the message of our church. It's what God enables us and empowers us to do, and where God leads us to people so that that message might go out. So he brings us together, and we draw strength from one another, because it's the unity of the faith, the unity of the Spirit, and it draws us together, and then we have this message, and we reach the world for Christ. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And what's the truth? The truth of the gospel. It's the word of God. And so we preach that. The early church, if you read in the book of Acts, they did some amazing things. What somebody said, I can't remember the whole thing. Richard, what is that? What am I thinking of? You can't remember it either. It's amazing what can be done if nobody cares who gets the credit. Amen? But it's working together for those things. Listen to Acts 4:32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he had possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They had one heart and they had one soul, and they were doing the work of God. And the very next verse says, there was great grace and great power. And that's where all kinds of people started getting saved. It's an amazing truth. In our text, in Psalm 133, it's a oneness of sentiment, affection, and behavior. And as we search the scripture, ultimately, it's the unity of the faith and it's the unity of the spirit. God is for them. God doesn't want to separate us. God wants to draw us together. God doesn't want us to go away from him. God wants to draw us to him. And if we're all drawn to that cross and we're all drawn to that gospel and that cause, which there is a cause, a worthy cause, then we will help each other. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible talks about the body and the church. And it says we're all members. As God hath pleased, he put us into the body. And so we're in a church and we're all trying to function so that the church functions, so that we can preach the gospel. In Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know you're saved? Well, the Word of God is a spiritual book, amen? And it tells us if we've accepted Christ, it bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In Romans 8:9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So this is a spiritual work. It's not just an outward thing, it's an inward thing. In John chapter 3 and verse 34, the Bible says Christ had the Spirit without measure. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Being filled with the Spirit is a blessing. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And you get around people like that, and it's a blessing. Amen? Because they're filled with the Spirit. I want to look today at what God wants to accomplish in our lives personally, in our homes, in our church, and then in our community. God wants to work, and he does the work. You know, it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's at work in us so that we will do the work. We work out our salvation and sharing it. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't raise your hand, but how many here today are filled with the Spirit? You know you're filled with the Spirit. Say, well, how would I know that? Well, what are the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all of those things. That's a spiritual work. Amen? Boy, we could take a lot of time there, but I need to move on so we're done by 1:30. Amen? And we'll just see what happens. But in Philippians 1:27, it says that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of this. Well, isn't the purpose of being filled with the Spirit that I have peace? Well, that's not the purpose of it. That's the result of it. If you are filled with the Spirit, it's love, it's joy, it's peace. So you can love your enemies. So you can be at peace with your neighbor. So you can try and give a witness to other people. It's for the faith of the gospel. The whole working of God in every heart here is so that other people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen? It's not to get numbers in a church. It's not to have more wealth. It's not to get my way. It's so that God can use me as an instrument of his glory to give the gospel to somebody. And so he does that. He leads us. We're led of the Spirit. Amen? And the words he speaks unto us, they are spirit and they are life. And so we take that same word and we preach it to other people and share it with other people. So God's good to us. I mean, if you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, take one. Patience, long-suffering. Those are good things. Love, joy, peace. Those are wonderful things. But again, he gives that to us so that people can see what Jesus is like. Amen? Remember, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, we want people to see us and then see Christ. So they see the same thing. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, unity, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And there's a great work that's done because of that. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So in our prayer closet, in our time alone with God, in our fellowship with other believers, even in driving in the car and speaking to the Lord and rejoicing in His goodness, that's something we know personally, but He wants that to spill out. David said in Psalm 23, my cup runneth over. And He daily loads us with benefits and so much to be thankful for that we can share that with other people. Amen? It's great grace, wonderful grace. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We've gathered today to worship God. Amen? And so we worship Him in spirit, not just in words. We worship Him with our heart. We love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our mind. And that pleases Him, and it's a wonderful thing. And it's a great thing to be a part of. Amen? When you're in a service and everybody's excited about God or loving God, and it's just a great experience. Amen? Because that's God's will. How does God's help strengthen us? How does His Spirit strengthen us? How does it strengthen our homes to be filled with the Spirit? How does it strengthen our church? It's just a blessing to do this. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind one toward another. You've read your Bible probably what? You've probably read through your Bible a number of times. I won't give a number, but you especially you've read through the New Testament probably dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And one theme you'll see, it will pop off of the pages all the time, is this spirit of unity. One mind, one heart, one accord, worshiping God together, the unity of the believer in the bond of peace. It's just such a wonderful thing. And it fills the Bible because that's how God uses us. Amen? Iron sharpeneth iron. We encourage one another. We love one another. We strengthen one another. What is that for? Well, so I can enjoy your company. No, it's so we can be used of God wherever we go. Amen? It's good to have this brother with us again back here. I set aside a book because he's traveling the world. He just got back from Siam. I'm kidding. But what's that for, Richard? I don't know. Well, okay, I'll take it. Amen. Well, laborers together. I guess I needed to stop talking about you. But anyway, I set aside a book, and I've been praying for this young man. He's interested in missions. And set aside a book, and good to see you today. And if I never see you again the rest of my life, you know, we pray for this fella, that God will use him. Amen. Wherever God takes him, however long it takes him to get wherever he goes, because that's God's work in all of us. Such a blessing. Romans 12:16, here it is again. Be of the same mind, one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Philippians 2:2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Philippians 4:2. I beseech Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, two women in the church, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. That is recorded in the Scriptures, and that is the eternal word of God. How would you like your name to be in the eternal word of God for division? How would you like it to be in there? Oh boy, these two ladies really had trouble. And it, in the eternal Bible, you know? Anyway, what's the problem? Euodias, what's the problem? Well, you know what the problem is, Syntyche. And you're back and forth and back and forth. And sometimes the devil creates, and the flesh, boy, just, you know, it's like putting wood on a fire, you know? And it's such a trivial little thing. So trivial. And yet, here's a big source of strife. Only by pride cometh contention. And so that separates where what God wants to do is we come into church, man, we want to love God. We want God to speak to us. We want God to impress on us. We want God to fill us with the Spirit so we can be encouraged and we can go home. Somebody said to me earlier today that they had a bad day on Friday until they came here Friday night, and they were encouraged and they went home just being blessed. Amen. That's church. That's what church ought to be. And sometimes the littlest thing, who's in my parking spot? They know I sit in that seat. Stupid stuff. Amen. I mean, dumb stuff. And yet the devil has his way, but trivial will keep you from having the same mind in the Lord. Amen. Great grace, great power, not grieving the Spirit. That's what pleases the Lord. It said in our text, for there the Lord commanded his blessing. Boy, that's so powerful. Every time I come to church or get together with other believers, whether it's for some fellowship or just some counsel, I always want God to lead and direct and be glorified. And sometimes that's not getting our way, is it? It's just what God wants to do. And God can do that. 1 Corinthians 3, we're laborers together. So as we come together, we accomplish more for God. Amen. We're laborers together. That's how God designed it. Philemon, the little book of Philemon, Paul said, Archippus, our fellow soldier. There's a battle being fought. Amen. What's the song? It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight, not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. It's all these songs. Fight the good fight of faith. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You have all of these verses because it's a battle. It's a battle of the mind. It's a battle of the heart. It's a battle of all kinds of opposition out there. We're fighting the devil, not each other. God doesn't want division amongst us. God wants us to unify so we can fight the devil together. We pray for you. Prayed for me this morning. I prayed for you. So we could come together. The word of God could be preached. God would speak to my heart. And then when I leave this place, there's a work to do. And there's a battle to fight. You know, most Americans, maybe not most Americans, but a lot of them, a lot of people, they're only interested in a life of ease. You know, get more so I can live easier. But there's so much more to it than that. It's we need to fight the fight of faith. And that is a hard thing to do. You know, it used to be where, talking about missions, men would love to go to the mission field. They would sacrifice. They would leave their country to go to the mission field. I know so many. I've been to so many mission fields, and I've seen them, where they just give up everything and they serve God in a village. You know, our old secretary, Sarah, went to New Guinea, and it was very remote, and just served God teaching children a language so that they could have a Bible. It's hard work for God, but what a blessing, amen? 3 John, we're fellow helpers. I want to help you. I don't want to hinder you. Amen? You want to help each other. You don't want to hinder anybody. There's a gift of helps in 1 Corinthians. That word helps is only used 2 times in the Bible. I've given you this before. The other is in Acts 27. The ship is being pulled apart. The boards are coming loose. And so they put helps around it, like this big, not like a chain, but like a cable, and pulled it tight, and it held the ship together. A gift of helps. The helps in Acts chapter 27 that kept the ship together. That's what we want to do in the church. Amen? We want to be fellow helpers. Boy, I could go on. There's so much here. Revelation 6, we're fellow servants. Amen? We serve the Lord together. Philippians 2:25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger that he ministered to my wants. He's a fellow laborer. He's a fellow soldier. He's a fellow servant. You can have more than one title. Amen? Well, I'll be the soldier. Well, then you need to be the helper too. Amen? Then you need to be the servant. A servant. Well, I don't want to be a servant. Well, God wants you to be a servant. Amen? So we serve one another. Unity. There's a phrase, united we stand, divided we fall. And that's so true. You have Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. But verse 12 says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So you get people together and it magnifies the strength, the encouragement. What can be done? Amen? If you've ever come to a work day at the church and sometimes there's something to carry. I remember when we were putting the carpet in and Richard Lindgren and I, we went back and he says, can you help me carry these books? We took whole racks of books. And he said, could you help me do that? And I said, no. But I did it anyway. And I mean, one person couldn't do that. It's impossible. It's just not going to get done unless you did it one at a time. And then you lose a bunch of time and whatever. We got the job done. But we had a lot of help. We had a lot of help. And we got the work done. Sometimes you can't help physically. You can help in prayer. You can help materially. You can help some way. We're fellow helpers, fellow servants. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, boy, that's a troubling thing. You've been overtaken in faults, I'm sure. We all have. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, okay, what is spiritual? Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Well, I thank God I'm not like them. Boy, well, you could be. Well, I'll never be. Well, don't never say never, right? But to be spiritual is, there's a meekness because it's not your strength and your power. It's God that's working in you. And he wants to help other people. In 2 Samuel chapter 10, Joab and his brother Abishai, they're fighting an enemy. And Joab says to his brother, they divide up because they're going to fight. He said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. So if I'm fighting the Syrians and they're too strong, I want you to come and help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Doesn't that make sense? They were both on the same side. They were fighting two different enemies, but both of those enemies wanted to destroy Israel. So one says, well, if I need help, come and help me. And if you need help, I'll come and help you. And they made that league. They made that promise. They made that agreement with each other so that the nation could be victorious. Amen. I want this church. It's my desire that this church stays true to the faith, has a good spirit. Amen. Sees people saved, supports missionaries. That's my desire for this church. What is your desire for the church? Well, my desire for the church is another pastor. Sorry that I don't think that's going to happen. Amen. But, well, I think this is what we ought to do, and that's what we ought to do, and all the different stuff that can divide a church. Amen. Well, I think your services ought to be shorter. Well, I think they ought to be longer. Well, let's have a vote. And you vote, and the longer has it by one vote, and then all the shorter ones are mad. Amen? You know, well, let's do this or let's do that. We, when we picked out the carpet, we let, actually, the guy that, he's my friend, but he knew what the color, the best color would be. I remember back in Sturgis, we had an auditorium, it was huge. And we got a few ladies together, and just a few, and everybody had a different idea on the carpet. And I had a friend who owned a carpet business other than the one who did this here. He, in a really large church down in that area, that church split over the color of carpet. And you know, you think about stuff like that, and it's just, it's crazy. Amen? I love God, and I love this church. I just love this church. I love you. And I want this church to be the best church that it can be in the world. Amen? And I hope that's your prayer too. And if it is, it's like what we're doing in Sunday school. We're putting these names down. When the church gets together to pray, that's powerful. Because that's what God wants it to do. That's what they did on the day of Pentecost. They were all gathered and they were praying. And the Spirit of God came down. And you see the results of that all through the scripture. Just kind of file that in there. And if a brother needs help, you need him. You need to support him. Amen. You need to pray for him. You need to lift him up in meekness. In meekness, considering thyself. In Acts chapter 12, Peter, they apprehended him. And it says they put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. There are 16 soldiers, 4, 4, 4, and 4. With the Romans, if you had just that many soldiers, you could defend against hundreds of the enemy, because they would stand back to back and they would protect what was inside. It just had to be a little group. And that's where they get the expression, I've got your back, you know. But they were powerful. But anyway, they took Peter and they put him in prison. And a little bit later in the chapter, it says, the church prayed for him. I think I have the language. Yeah, prayer was made by the church for Peter. And pretty soon he's out of prison. He's out of jail. The church, while he was suffering in prison, the church was all gathered together praying for him. I think that's important. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God the Father, God the Spirit, Jesus, God the Son, are all together. It's the triune God. It's three in one. Explain the Trinity, it's hard to explain it. I just believe what the Bible says about it. They all have the same design. They're different, maybe, ways of working, but it's the same design to save mankind. Amen? We are all different, but our cause is to see people saved. That's the cause of the church. And as we do that, God blesses that. Finally, the Bible says, 1 Peter 3:8, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. It seems like such an easy thing, just to have that love in your heart, but there's a real battle for that, because the devil would want to take your heart, the devil would want to take your mind. He'd want to magnify things that who cares about. You just want to do something good for God. You know what Paul said to the Galatians, I think it's in chapter 4. He talked about travailing in birth for them. In other words, he pictured it, and that's not the only place it is in the Bible, but he pictured it as like childbearing, and the pain that during the childbearing is great pain. But afterwards, what's it say about the mother? She forgets the pain. Because there's a child, there's something that's born. And the church, personally, individually, families, collectively, we may go through things. But when that soul gets saved, all of this was worth it. It was all worth it. All the pain, all the heartache, all the prayer, all the pleading with God, all of the battle to have one soul come to Christ. That's what God wants in our church. Amen. That's why Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I believe it is, Paul's talking about the Macedonian believers and how they endured great trial of affliction. And he said, but they proved the sincerity of their love. And then Paul was talking to them about supporting the church, and it talked about equality, that one would not be eased and one would not be burdened. And the whole principle there for that particular truth that Paul was expressing was unity again. We do what we can. I read this. It's a little devotional, and it shouldn't take long to read. It's just one little paragraph. But it's entitled Service That Costs But Triumphs. It's a principle in the Bible. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And we sacrifice so that something will be produced. They love not their lives unto the death, Revelation 12. So I will go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish, Esther chapter 4. What an amazing statement. Amen? If I perish, I perish. I just want to save my nation. I want my people to be set free and not killed. The life of the church becomes fruitful when it becomes sacrificial. When the church is easeful, she loses her power to redeem. I remember the old story of Pope Innocent IV and Thomas Aquinas, who were standing together as bags of treasure were being carried in through the gates. You see, observed the Pope with a smile, the day is past when the church could say, silver and gold have I none. Yes, Aquinas replied, and the day is past when the church could say to the lame man, rise and walk. And maybe it was because Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It's not the financial, it's not the material, it's the spiritual. And there was a great, great work in Acts chapter 4 about that. When the church's life is lived on the plane of ease and comfort and bloodless service, she has no power to fertilize the dry and barren places of earth. When the church becomes sacrificial, she becomes impressive, dedicated. The enemy is calling and mocking. People are shaking in their boots, and David says, is there not a cause? Would to God. Amen. Would to God. We have unity. And the way to have unity is personally getting it yourself, praying for other people to have it. Our fellowship is together. Our cause is the same. We serve the Lord together. Amen, amen, amen. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, God, that we'll take it to heart, that it'll change our lives, our homes, our church, this area. May you be glorified in all that takes place, Lord. May we respond to you. May we desire what you desire. May we be filled with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let